This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, this is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Leechwe Lin. Tonight, the adjustment period when our neighbourhoods evolve over time.
So this is coming amidst complaints, right, about Bangsar transforming into a nightlife hub. So first, we talk about how town planning can account for these changes. And then, with great change comes new crowds. So how does this change the culture and dynamics of a neighbourhood?
Tell us, has your neighbourhood changed over the years? Have you liked these changes? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and as we said earlier, the roots of today's Inside Story comes from a particular issue that's been getting a fair amount of publicity of late, and that's the fact that residents of Bangsar have been calling for stricter law enforcement, but also, I guess, generally complaining about their neighbourhood, and they're saying that it's become an entertainment hub, a nightlife spot. They're complaining about things like illegal parking and brawls and noise pollution. So I think all of this has brought about questions of how this can be attended to, but in a larger sense, also questions of how to account for changes in a neighborhood when the original, I suppose, when the original residents don't quite take to how it's evolving.
Yes. So there are a lot of factors here, right? Because on the one hand, you have people who say, well, you know, I live here, I raise my family here, I don't necessarily want to do it in the shadow of a space that is most associated with nightlife. And to a degree, that is perfectly understandable. On the flip side of that, Bangsar has been this way for a while now. You know, it's been a space in which you do see people flocking there at night. You see people going there, particularly on the weekends. It is absolutely packed. And I understand that the noise pollution can, of course, be a very real issue. So the question then is, as you say, right, like what do we do, or how can neighborhoods actually account for this? Because Bangsar's not alone. It perhaps is an extreme example, but there are similar situations playing out, particularly in commercial areas that used to be just, I don't know, a paint shop is now suddenly the hottest restaurant in town. Mm. You know, there are all these situations where a place that did not used to accommodate this much literal traffic and foot traffic is suddenly finding itself in this epicenter. And usually what happens also is that it only takes that one shop or that one quote-unquote hidden gem to invite more business people to go to that area, to open up other bars, to open up other restaurants. And then before you know it, your neighborhood is no longer quite the neighborhood that you're used to. And so I think that there is this push and pull, right? Because you said original residents earlier. And I think sometimes there is this feeling of, well, what does it mean to say somewhere is your neighborhood?
Yeah.
You know, what does that actually mean? But on the flip side, you also have people who have been living in a space for 40, 50, 60 years going, well, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this space that I love and enjoy living in to suddenly be transformed into primarily things that I don't engage with, for example.
So when we look at the specific complaints, I actually think you get a much clearer idea of what it is that ends up bothering people, right? And it often feels like it's when their quality of life is affected. So when you talk about things like rampant parking, noise pollution, light pollution, trash, and I think all of these are things that can be solved, perhaps not easily, but can definitely be addressed when there's better planning, when there's better infrastructure. And if you envision a neighborhood moving in a particular direction, there are ways in which that can be done while accommodating for these changes. The question, the issue here is often that development in certainly places like KL, but even in other urban centres, tend to happen in a very piecemeal way. Nobody's really thinking about what this space is going to look like 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And instead, it's just, oh, people are coming here now. Let's build, build, build.
Oh, people are coming here now, but actually what we have is a very old residential neighborhood that has parking for people who are coming to tapau lunch and no more than that, you know, and suddenly you find yourself having this space just completely overrun. And a lot of the complaints, while we focused on some of them earlier, and those kind of circled the kinds of things you usually hear about when there's nightlife involved. But the truth is, parking is a tremendous problem. People parking right in front of your house, people double parking, you know, just littering. There's a lot of things that happen when there's a higher volume than usual of people entering a space. And you're right, I'm not sure that infrastructurally speaking that those things are accounted for. Culturally speaking also, I think that there are issues because you might think of your neighborhood as a purely cozy residential space, but someone else coming in might see, ooh, you know, this is the best place to be at 11 o'clock at night. I don't know. And the, that kind of cultural dynamic and the opposition that's naturally built into that in some ways, I think makes for quite an uneasy relationship.
So those are really the two aspects that we're going to address in today's show. First, we're going to be discussing the kind of, built environment, infrastructural changes that need to happen to accommodate evolving neighborhoods. And for that, we'll soon be joined by Taufik Nazaruddin, founder of Design Framework. But let us know, has your neighborhood changed over the years? Have you liked these changes? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:16. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about evolving neighborhoods and the discomforts that that often results in. We'd like to hear from you. Has your neighborhood changed over the years? Have you liked those changes? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to discuss the kinds of infrastructural changes that need to happen alongside this evolution is Taufik Nazaruddin, founder of Design Framework, which is a multidisciplinary urban strategy practice. Taufik, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sharmila. Thank you for having me.
So KL is often described as a rapidly changing city. In terms of built environment, how have we seen those changes show up in old neighborhoods?
Hey, thank you. I think when we talk about changes in neighborhood, first we need to understand like what is a neighborhood. So just to break it down, a neighborhood is a place of living or residential zone. It's planned based on good urban design principles to ensure sufficient amenities supports it, as well as having conveniences, and they are made accessible to major job centers. So if we're looking at the changes that we see in old neighborhoods today, I think we can see many of these neighborhoods, especially along the main roads, they are being redeveloped into commercial or, for example, from houses into shops. And I think if we look at the new draft KL City Plan 2040, the KL City Physical Plan, they have been quite progressive in its demarcation or desire to allow the redevelopment of old neighborhoods. Many developments are done by many parties, for example, private individuals. This can be in terms of small residential and commercial projects, but also by large companies and local authorities when it comes to public spaces.
So how have we seen all these shifts and changes over time affecting residents, right, in these neighborhoods?
I think first and foremost, how it affects these neighborhoods in terms of the livelihood, in terms of the quality of living. So, for example, shifting from just residential, perhaps, let's say, if next to you develops a commercial area, then it would affect in terms of the peace, you know, of having a quiet neighborhood area.
And residents in Bangsa in particular have been raising concerns that their neighborhood has turned into an entertainment hub, that it's no longer what it used to be. What can you tell us about Bangsa and how would you respond to this?
Yeah, Bangsa is quite a popular neighborhood in town. I think the main attraction of Bangsa is generally the commercial center, because we need to see that neighborhood is also a part of component of a bigger city system. So within the neighborhood, usually there is like the business center or the shops. What happens is, I think, due to the proximity of the affluent residential neighborhood of Bangsa, that sort of have attracted a very large commercial attention, and therefore that affects a lot of the properties along the major routes of Jalan Maro, for example, and also the houses that are aligning the main road along those areas. So in terms of the development into an entertainment hub, I think those are generally located within the regional business center. I think the desire to sort of like redevelop the area has to have the onboarding of the local community as well to sort of be invested and have their opinions in terms of their concerns and what sort of a vision that they have for a future Bangsa. Yeah.
So if we look at this more generally, right, at this whole notion that places and residential areas can change, what are some early indicators that a neighborhood's fundamental character and function are really starting to shift?
Yeah, I think it will be quite evident in terms of the number one is the demographics. You will see in terms of Bangsa from the earlier mature neighborhood, you will start to see younger population of the demography starts to come in. I think this is due to Bangsa being very approximate to job centers such as the KL City Center. Second, in terms of the conveniences, you will start to see in terms of a change of the types of services because they, service the type of demography that comes in. I think another way to say that is the gentrification that happens. Thirdly, in terms of traffic, you will see, in terms of Bangsa specifically, from a quiet neighborhood to a bustling, when you say entertainment and also entertainment hub, right? It's in a way it's about increasing its busyness and accessibility as a business hub. So you will see more traffic. Fourthly, you will see a change of in terms of the quality of living or the environment, as I mentioned before, in terms of maybe the landscape. You won't have like houses, but you'd be neighbors to maybe a business hub. And lastly, in terms of the larger context, you will see in the periphery, like the landscape changes, because of the desirability of that area increases. Therefore, it's desirable to develop the area surrounding that neighborhood.
Are these sorts of shifts a natural progression of time or are there other factors at play that contribute to it?
I think it's a mix of most of it, Shamila. Naturally, private property owners would like to, renovate or upgrade or even rebuild older homes. So in the first instance, that's a natural progression and quite a small progression. But secondly, in terms of commercial, when I mentioned just now, when the commercial value increases, therefore the appetite for commercial development also increases. And that's the pull factor because everyone wants to basically put their businesses where it's most visible, most busy, and most most attractive. And finally, I think the larger natural progression, maybe not for Bangsa, but generally in terms of the environment or the climate or an act of God. Yeah.
If we look then at these challenges that come, right? You mentioned traffic, things like that. What are really the main points that come up, the main pain points when it comes to adapting the infrastructure of a residential neighborhood to account for it becoming a commercial area? And in fact, in the case of Bangsa, for example, one that's driven by nightlife.
I think we can look at it from a few point of view. We can say in terms of like city planning, the pain points would be in terms of retrofitting or the capacity, talk about the infra, right, of public spaces and roads. How do we sort of accommodate like a different capacity use or, amount of users, for example, from an area, for, let's say, for about 50 homes, as opposed to now a commercial development that might have like more visitors throughout the day. So that's the first aspect of it. Next, I think in terms of the identity of the neighborhood as well, because I think we quite underscore this value of the urban fabric and also community building. Sometimes redevelopment or, just gentrification takes away this urban fabric that has more value in the long term. Yes.
How about things like traffic flow and parking? How much do these matter in these sorts of situations?
Well, our cities are planned around cars, unfortunately. But the important part about the traffic flow, parking, I think we need to look at the accessibility, ensuring that when we have this transition, for example, from neighborhood to business centers, we must make sure that the accessibility for the existing areas, they remain. Or, you know, if let's say this route is now plied by business visitors or client or customers, then appropriate measures of planning, you know, must be sort of must be put in place to accommodate this existing users. Second, in terms of walkability, I think it's important to ensure that the design physically, that it is actually quite safe and secure due to the different nature of, you know, risks associated to residential versus, let's say, a new land zone use such as commercial. And I think finally, things that we quite overlook at is in terms of universal access, making sure that, you know, minority groups like women and also children and also the handicapped have good access to moving around. Yeah.
I want to talk about two things, I guess, in terms of adjustments, right? Because on the one hand, what adjustments can be made to existing built environment and infrastructure to accommodate these things that we're discussing? But also, are there ways to plan for it, right? To say from the beginning, well, this neighborhood is in a location that looks like it could eventually grow to become a commercial center. What can we do to accommodate that evolution?
I think the number one is actually, of course, you know, continuously better planning and better a better implementation plan. So it means that before any sort of development is put in, proper implementation, you know, like the planning stage needs to be there. Make sure that the due processes are done in terms of making sure that the involvement of the local community and also the new developer, they are on board the development and all the sort of like the concerns and risks are addressed from the planning stage. Secondly, maybe better public spaces and sidewalks as well. I think this is very important because we see a lot of this development. They are quite disconnected in terms of looking at development from an isolated, you know, island development instead of development as part of a bigger master plan or bigger community. And also perhaps the concept of common good as a place of meeting, meaning when we look at the example of Bangsar just now, to look at the idea of developing a high street concept instead of just, a thoroughfare and shops accessing it, you know, where are the common spaces? I think there are a few pocket developments there, pocket parks development. I think that's a good step forward. Think about what the community can sort of, think about the spaces where the communities can actually occupy and also do cultural and light commercial activities. Yeah, I think that would be a positive step forward.
Taufik, we just have about a minute left. What would you like to leave us with?
I think all in all, public initiation or knowledge of, urban or, you know, community building as a neighbourhood is important or key. I think sometimes there is sort of like a gap or a gap of knowledge. So I think engaging with built environment professional societies like Pertubuhan Arkitek Malaysia, you know, and also architect urban designers, you know, can be like a good step for the public to sort of know more in terms of what are good placemaking and urban design strategies that they could have, you know, for the community. Yeah.
Taufik, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Taufik Nazaruddin, founder of Design Framework, weighing in on really the infrastructure, the kind of planning required as neighbourhoods evolve. After this, we'll be honing in on the cultural aspect of that. But let us know, has your neighbourhood changed over the years? Have you liked those changes? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about changing neighborhoods and how to contend with those changes. Earlier, we discussed this from the perspective of infrastructure and the kind of facilities that need to be in place. Now we're going to expand that to talk about culture and cultural dynamics. We'd like to hear from you. Has your neighborhood changed over the years? Have you liked those changes? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Before we get to our next guest, I think we have time for a few messages.
Let's start with Anonymous, who says, I'm greatly worried and terribly unhappy that the main road near my home is going to be struck by the same problem that Bangsa is now facing. The bungalow houses have been changed into commercial lots, like used car dealers, old folks' homes that aren't properly renovated, with visitors parking without thought for others, offices whose staff also park to their convenience. There are also a couple of kindergartens which cause jams on the narrow inner roads. I cannot understand why the local authorities had approved such developments when the place is a wholly residential area, with only a single row of shop lots to provide small-scale businesses like 7-Eleven and a mamak shop. I'm very sure most of the residents here did not expect nor look for such prosperity to take place. If our municipal authorities are going to allow such erratic development, I'm sure it's wiser for the younger generation not to work towards owning a house, since the neighbourhood may not remain the serene, healthy taman we had when we initially bought the house. By the way, the practice of Pasar Malam and Bazaar Ramadan is already something a lot of us go with, because we know that people need to be given a chance to earn their living. But the rubbish, the smell, the crows and rodents, strangers littering in front of one's driveway is really an unpleasant weekly event. And yes, some of us cannot leave or enter our houses because of thoughtless parking in front or all along the narrow roads.
So I think that message hits on so many points, right? Because I go back to thinking, I don't think by and large people have an issue with, say, for example, a bungalow house being renovated to be a business. I think what they have an issue with is when that impinges on their comfort and their daily life. So there are so many gaps in terms of enforcement rules, neighborhood guidelines that need to be followed before these things can be implemented. And I think that's where the problem is.
Meanwhile, Munif says, the irony of better planning is this. You go to any local authority and they have something called a structure plan, which any civilian can refer to at the Jabatan Perancang. The structure plan shows us what every plot of land is gazetted for, the ones that are built, those that will be. Things are planned and well to a certain extent. But developers can easily pay a premium to override that and say, I'm going to build whatever I want, wherever I want. That's why you end up with pubs in front of family homes and silly dead malls surrounded by factories. It's two-pronged, really. To the rakyat, check the structure plan before purchasing a property so you're aware of what it is, what is or will be surrounding you. To the local authorities, you've got a structure plan. Stick to it, for God's sake.
I mean, that's really the thing, right? We do have supposedly structures to accommodate these things. We do have guidelines that people are supposed to follow. But when it comes down to, are they being implemented? Are they being enforced? That seems to be the huge gap. And even when we talk about something like illegal parking or people parking in residential areas, we do have systems in place, i.e. the police, to make sure that this doesn't happen.
So the gap, I guess, between planning and implementation is huge, but the impact that it then has on lived experience is also tremendous. And I think that that is something that we've not fully accounted for yet.
Yes, and I think that there's so much in terms of that kind of implementation, but in a larger sense also, how when you live in a neighborhood, there is a certain amount of, I believe our earlier guest called it urban fabric, but I think you can also extend it to culture, how you adapt to other people around you, right? And that's what we're going to pick up on after this, but we would like to continue hearing from you. Has your neighborhood changed over the years? Have you liked those changes? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Elizabeth Cardosa, heritage conservation expert. Elizabeth, good to have you back again.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
So we're diving into this topic today because of an article that touched on how Bangsa has essentially evolved into being a nightlife hub. Tell us, how has Bangsa shifted culturally from its beginnings 50 years ago as a rubber plantation?
Well, you know, the rubber plantation was a rubber plantation. Then it became a sort of a residential neighborhood because, you know, it got developed into housing. And part of that was a commercial area, you know, where there were shops. And really, it's not all of Bangsa that's turned into a sort of a, you know, a entertainment hub, right? It is really only the parts where you have more, you know, the shops and the restaurants and the a couple of places where you know, the malls are. But the residential neighborhood remains residential, except for the main roads, the sort of the arteries that have been turned into more, you know, where the houses, the residential houses have been turned into more commercial use, for more commercial use, not restaurants really, but more, you know, showrooms and hairdresser salons and things like that, right? So I think that, you know, when you talk about Bangsa, it's not just... It's which part of Bangsa. And I think the neighborhood that where you're talking about, you know, which has become the entertainment hub, I think even in the 1980s, it sort of became quite popular. And, you know, as more and more people moved in there, it was kind of like their neighborhood hangout. So I don't know, you know, how there is clearly a change. In terms of more restaurants or more entertainment as opposed to the sort of more local shops. But I kind of don't think that the change is so tremendous in so far as it hasn't spilled that much into the residential areas. The residential areas that hub, that border the commercial areas, yes, that has experienced some change because of traffic. But apart from that, I don't know. My view.
So I wanted to pick up on that because I see very much where you're coming from, especially if we think about the totality of Bangsa. But then I suppose the question is, to a degree, why is it then that the perception of what Bangsa is now is so much coloured by those residential areas and the hubbub and headlines surrounding it?
Well, you know, I think that as there is pressure on, you know, as the, maybe as the commercial areas kind of like expand, like I was saying, you know, Jalan Ma'ruf, you know, main road, right? You know, Jalan Ara, you know, the what were houses have now become showrooms, or, you know, whether they're car showrooms or fashion showrooms or furniture showrooms, you know, so the activity has changed. And because the activity has changed, the kind of transient traffic, I suppose, people coming in are not so much, you know, me, my neighbor, I know everybody, I can walk about, and it's all kind of like local, right? So you have people from so-called outside the Bangsa coming. And so the pressure is then on the adjacent streets, for example, especially where there are houses, then you kind of like, because there's a restaurant or a bar or a showroom, people then begin to park, you know, in your neighborhood area, and that begins to add pressure. And it could be a bit of an irritant, I'm sure, to people who've lived in that area and kind of said, this is a really quiet neighborhood, and now, you know, we have all these extra people coming in who are kind of like taking up and crowding our streets, our little residential streets, and they are narrow.
What are some other neighborhoods that have seen these sorts of prominent cultural shifts over the decades?
Let's look at residential areas, and then let's look at, you know, the more commercial streets. If you're looking at KL, let's say, you know, in the 1950s, 60s, and maybe even the 70s, you know, the whole sort of Batu Road, Jalan Tongkok Duraman area, you know, that was bustling, and you know, you had the Kamdas and the Globe Soap stores, and that was where people went. And then until then, you had the shopping malls that came up. You know, Ampang Park, that's now gone, unfortunately. You know, was the first mall really in KL, and then you had more and more malls coming up. But so you had that kind of like more commercial shift. Where there was the kind of commercial activity that was focused. And so nobody kind of complains because it's not residential. It's not where you live, you know. It's where you shop. It's where you bank. It's where you work. So that's one side. And the commercial centers kind of shifted, right? They went from Jalan Tongkok Duraman area to Tongkok Duraman area, Batu Road to Bukit Bintang, you know. And then, of course, you know, as the city expanded, you have the neighborhoods, Bangsa, Mount Kiara, and then into Churras and Ampang, and again, where you have all these commercial areas, that's kind of where there's a lot of activity around them, and they are usually in the midst of or part of a neighborhood or a residential development. And where I think the changes are is when the commercial areas are fairly large. It's when you have smaller commercial areas, one or two streets of shop, or, you know, one or two blocks of shop houses, the rest of the neighborhood, so to speak, you know, remains pretty residential and relatively, you know, quiet and neighborhood-like, right? But it's when you have the larger areas, like, you know, Bangsa being one of them, Mount Kiara. Now, you know, different areas of Ampang. Certainly, if you were to go out to, you know, Churras and places like that, you have these really bustling commercial centers with residential areas nearby. It's when the commercial and the residential are cheek by jowl, which is what you have in Bangsa, that's when the pressures, I think, become very apparent. So I don't know that, you know, I would say we would talk about it, you know, so generally, you know, and sort of do a broad brush and say, but where do these commercial or cultural activities change? Partly, I think, you know, as the neighborhoods or as the focal points, you know, change and people's interests change, and maybe an activity, you know, or a theater or a bar that's very popular comes into a particular area, people kind of tend to gravitate toward it, and then it becomes popular. But then it kind of then, you know, as a new center comes up, people kind of move along with it. So Bangsa, though, I think, has managed to kind of keep its position, I would say, as a bustling commercial entertainment area, even, you know, even as the kind of shops or the kind of activity changes from sort of a more low-keyed different kinds of restaurants into, as I think, as people or as society, you know, not changes, but as things become more popular or activity, certain types of activity become more popular, that's kind of when it changes. And if you've lived in an area for a long time and then you see the change, you do get unhappy, I think, you know. And Bangsa is a relatively older neighborhood, if you look at Bangsa per se, the whole of Bangsa, right? And you think about all the condominiums and all the build-up that's happened on the edges of Bangsa and Bangsa Baru. Huge developments that kind of then bring in lots of people. And when there are lots of people, you have a ready catchment, yeah, for your commercial activity because it's your neighborhood.
If we look at the kinds of changes we're talking about, how do the different crowds that come and go from a particular area contribute to those changes?
Well, I think it's the crowds come and go depending on what is available in that neighborhood, I suppose. You know, that's part of it, right? So it's which came first, the chicken or the egg. But I think what I'd like to say at this point is, you know, it's not so much about the changes that come along with, because development is you know, as we go through, we don't expect everything to be static, right? It really is how well do we manage, you know, our context. You know, do people park hither thither? You know, do people just obey rules, you know, and not inconvenience the neighbors, let's say, or the neighborhood? Because if it is then an inconvenience because somebody's parking in front of your gate and you can't get in or out, you know, or somebody's blocking your way, that becomes uncivic-minded. And I think if we behave more civic-minded, there will be less conflict, maybe, you know, when these commercial activities sort of spill into or are, you know, in your immediate vicinity. Because if people didn't double park or block your way or sort of create a ruckus and, you know, litter your street, that kind of thing, you know, you don't mind, you know, you may not mind. I mean, it may be lively. But of course, if, you know, the noise goes on beyond midnight or beyond 11 o'clock and it becomes unreasonable because you want to get some rest or you know, need to move in and out, you know, and have a life which is not, you know, impacted so fully or terribly or negatively by this kind of commercial activity. I think that that's one of the things. But culturally, people will go to the kind of, I think people like neighborhood, you know, activity because it's kind of small and it has a character and identity. Bangsa's identity is quite different from, let's say, the identity of if you were to go to Mount Kiara, you know, or Sri Hartamas. Or Bukit Bintang, for that matter, right? You know, or off of Bukit Bintang, where there is residential area, or Churras. The identity of the places is really quite, you know, and you gravitate. I think we as individuals, we kind of tend to gravitate and move into areas or go to neighborhoods that we feel are familiar or comfortable or provide us with a kind of facility. I want to go to the coffee shop. I want to go to the bank and I want to, you know, do my grocery shopping all in one fell swoop and then have lunch and meet a friend, you know, that kind of thing. Very often, I would say, you know, I would say, yeah, let's meet my side quite easily. Also because I live on this side of the world, you know, if I were to live in Ampang, I figure we'd probably not want to gravitate toward Bangsa, but, you know, stay closer to wherever I reside. So I think it really depends very much on as the development and more people live in terms of residence, you know, close by or within a particular vicinity where you can get to a place like that quite easily. That's kind of where you tend to gravitate, wouldn't you say?
Yes, completely. Elizabeth, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Not at all. My pleasure.
That was Elizabeth Cardosa, heritage conservation expert. Let us know, has your neighbourhood changed over the years? Have you liked those changes? We'll look at your messages after this. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.